Today on More to Life, the comparison trap. Never feeling good enough? We're going to help you escape that comparison trap and start living the life that God has for you. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the comparison trap. We all have moments where we just feel like maybe we're not good enough, either because we see deficits in our own selves or because we're comparing ourselves to others and feeling like we're coming up short for some reason, or we end up being a little envious that that person has received certain blessings or they have certain skills or advantages that we wish that we had.
Or perhaps because somebody in our life has set that tone for us by comparing us to a sibling or a cousin or the other students in our class. And we still have those messages playing in our heads years later. Or even maybe it's still going on. You know?
Today on More to Life, we're talking about how to escape the comparison trap. 877-573-7825. Do you have somebody in your life who makes those unfair or unkind comparisons between you and your siblings, or you and other spouses or parents?
Or you and the perfect child they say they wish they had. You know, I'd be happy if only. That's pretty hard to take.
Or do you find yourself comparing yourself to others and feel like you're coming up short? Maybe you struggle with feeling like you're not as good as someone else, you know, that you're not as good a parent as so-and-so, you don't have as good a marriage as another couple that you know, you aren't as successful at work or in life as someone you know, you're not as faithful as somebody else that you know, that you look at and say, oh, I wish I had their prayer life, or I wish I had their depth of faith.
Or you feel like your family isn't. You know, you're striving for that, but you feel like, oh, well, if we were just as faithful as the people down at the other end of the pew, or those people that I see when I, you know, watch EWTN, or something that's making you feel like you're just not there yet.
Or maybe, you know, you look at the blessings that other people have received, you know, blessings that your heart longs for. You know, that child, a happier relationship, whatever it is. And you feel like somehow that means that God doesn't love you as much as he loves them. And intellectually we know that's not true, right? But in our hearts, we can go there. We want to help you discover the grace-filled ways to overcome envy and celebrate the unique plan God has for you. Let's work together to escape the comparison trap. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And you know, this comparison trap affects every single one of us.
It does.
In big and small ways. And you know, I'm not immune to this. You know, it happens all the time where you know, and it's just a natural reaction. I'm not proud of it. It's a little embarrassing to admit, honestly. But you know, where you find out that, you know, so-and-so was invited to speak at this conference or to do this thing. And it's like, well, why wasn't I invited? And I don't even necessarily even want to go. You know? but how come I didn't get the, you know? And I have to kind of check that, right? Yeah, I have to kind of go inside it and realize that, you know, look, you're doing fine, Greg. It's all right.
And what,
you know,
God's asking you to do. And I think it is very, very, very courageous for you to mention that. I'm going to say, honestly, though, I don't know. It's good to hear that men go through that, too, because we're really bombarded with it as women. And we hear more about it these days where there are influencers who will actually show you the rest of their house instead of the, you know, 4 feet that they've got on camera that they've perfectly cleared up, but everything's actually shoved off to the side. There's a little bit more of that now. But I remember this sort of haunting me my whole life. I remember in our as our kids were growing up, and you know, like family TV started showing bloopers of the shows after the show would end. And I remember thinking how freeing that was, because as a kid who watched a lot of TV, because I, you know, was home and being raised by wolves, you know, like I saw that, those shows, and they were all perfect. Nobody ever flubbed a line. Nobody ever tripped. Nobody ever did anything wrong. And I was really kind of, you know, inculcated that into my brain of like, oh, I'm the only one who ever makes a mistake. And it followed me through adulthood, where when I started homeschooling our kids, I will never forget reading a Day in a Life article. And I've mentioned this on the show before, but it still, you know, amazes me how much it affected me. Where this woman would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and she would, you know, swim, and then she'd take a 5-mile walk, and then she'd come home and she would make, you know, matching clothes for all of her children before they all woke up. And one day she found a rabbit on the side of the road, and she came home and she called the vet to make sure it was safe for them to do it as their biology project that day, dissecting this rabbit. And I remember I was just having the toughest day homeschooling little kids, and I kind of like lost it. And Greg was like, I don't want you to bring a dead rabbit into the house. Nobody's asking you to dress our children in homemade outfits. It's okay. But having this idea of, but this person can do everything. Why can't I do everything? I have no idea what her life was really like, or if her kids got along, or she even liked them. But we compare ourselves to things that we don't have full knowledge
of. Well,
and
I want to say, even if she did like her kids and everything was great, it doesn't matter, because
it's
not our family, right? And it's not our mission. And so it's really all about discerning what God's plan is for you, and
yes,
not even running down anybody else's. So, you know, let's talk about it, right? The comparison trap. 877-573-7825. What situations do you find yourself comparing yourself to others and feeling like you're coming up short? You know, when do you tend to feel a little envious of the blessings that other people have received, the blessings that you long for, but sometimes feel like, you know, maybe there isn't enough grace to go around, or maybe it means that God doesn't love you as much, or for that matter, maybe somebody is making those unkind or unfair comparisons between you and somebody else, and it's making you feel like you aren't measuring up?
Is it causing you to feel a lack of joy, a sense of anxiety, a sense of being less than? Because that is Satan trying to steal that closeness that you should be having with Christ. That is Satan trying to run you down. And let's have him stop that so you can truly, truly understand your worth and God's love for you. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it help me escape this comparison trap? Well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of creation.
The theology of the body reminds us that each of us is a unique and unrepeatable masterpiece in God's eyes. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we are made worthy not because of anything we have or have done or could do, but because of Christ's willingness to die for us and give us his own flesh and blood in the Eucharist. Even though we often feel like we come up short in various ways, we should never doubt that not only are you good enough in God's eyes, you are beloved.
And look, it's inevitable that as fallen creatures, we're going to compare ourselves to others and notice that they're better at us than certain, better than us at certain things, or that they have certain skills or advantages or blessings we wish we had. But rather than feeling condemned by this, or deciding that it means that we're not good enough or not as worthy as the people who have those things, the theology of the body reminds us that we need to bring those desires to our Heavenly Father who loves us and prayerfully ask Him first, are those things that we need to do the work that He's asking us to do, to live the life He wants us to have, to become the person He's calling us to be? You know, like I was just saying with Lisa, you know, would being the kind of homeschooling mom that would bring home the dead rabbit and make make homemade clothes for everybody, is that the life God was calling us
to? Right.
So number one. And number two, if the answer is yes, you know, that as we pray about that and we say, well, yeah, that is the kind of family that God wants us to be, or yeah, that is the kind of person that God is calling me to be, or whatever it is. The next thing we need to do is be confident that God has a plan for helping us acquire those skills or those blessings or advantages, and then ask Him to teach us how to pursue those goals in a way that's pleasing to Him and allows us to be more the person He's calling us to be. You know, if we can use this process, it allows us to avoid seeing the blessings others have been given as a condemnation, you know, a sign of somehow we don't measure up to others or that God is blessing them more. And instead, seeing those gifts as an inspiration from the Holy Spirit, letting us know that God has an amazing plan for us too. And we just let Him teach us how to listen to Him and follow Him. So let's talk about that. You know, are there certain areas of your life where you feel like maybe you're not measuring up? Where people are either unfairly comparing you to someone else, or you're doing it yourself? And you'd like to figure out how to escape that comparison trap and celebrate the gifts God is giving you, and live the call that God's placing on your heart. Let's talk it out. Whether it's a challenge with feeling like you're measuring up as a parent, as a spouse, as a worker, or as a Catholic, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. We'll take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we praise you and thank you for all of your generosity and all the many, many ways that you bless all of your children. But sometimes, Lord, when we see other people receiving the things that we wish we had or having the blessings we wish we'd been given, or even being better at things than we are, we can interpret that as a sign that somehow there isn't enough grace to go around, that you love them more, that somehow we are deficient and don't deserve those things. First, Lord, we ask you to help us have good discernment, to know whether those things would even be necessary for us to live the life or be the person you're calling us to be. But if those things are, we ask you then to teach us how to first be encouraged by the fact that you are generous enough to give anyone those blessings, and that you will always give us everything we need to live the life you're calling us to live and be the people you are calling us to be. Help us to celebrate the plan you have for our lives and know that our dignity and worth rests not in anything we could do, but in how much you love us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the comparison trap. Are you struggling with that feeling of not being good enough? Well, we want to help you escape that trap and start discovering the plan God has for you and how to achieve it. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Amy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado on iHeartRadio.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
My son last year got arrested twice for assault at school, and I homeschool him now, but I just feel like I just don't measure up as a mom, because, I mean, whose kid gets arrested at school twice? I mean, and so I've been praying to the Virgin Mary to help me become a better mom, but I still compare myself to other moms that have these kids that, you know, are on a roll and in high school and doing great, and we're homeschooling because I can't put him back in the school.
And Amy, can you tell me a little bit more? First of all, it's painful that this happened, and I'm so incredibly sorry that you're struggling with this. So I understand your concern. So let me ask you, you said you're homeschooling now. You feel like you want to try to be a better mom. What kinds of things are you doing to either get some help for him or the family?
Well, we're at home, and where I live, there's not really any therapy for teenagers. We've tried therapy before and it just never worked, so we just been doing anger management workbooks, and we've worked with last year with this parole officer. She helps a lot, and he's controlling his temper a lot better now, but he
When you say that you've tried therapy in the past but it hasn't worked, tell me more about that.
Well, the therapist, they just wanted to know what his gender was, and so that ended that. And we live in the part of Western Colorado where there's only like 3 child therapists, sure, and we've seen them all. And every time we go to therapy, he'd get more angry, more upset.
Okay.
Just never seen.
So let me talk through some things. Yeah, no, I understand. Well, and I'm glad to hear that you've taken you've seen some progress with the anger management workbooks that you guys are doing, with the work that he's done with his parole officer. I think that's good stuff, and the fact that you're looking at this. What I think that, first of all, in terms of comparing yourself, it's understandable why you would do that. Anybody does, right? Whenever we're struggling with our kids, we look at the other families and they don't have those struggles, and how come this is happening to me, right? And we automatically go there. And as difficult as it can be, I just want to really encourage you to recognize that what that really is not it's not God condemning you, right? It's God saying, I have more for you. That there is a way to move toward having that kind of family life that you're looking for, of helping of being confident in your ability as a mom to help your son. And look, I mean, I want you to focus on the fact that you've helped him so much already, getting him to a place where he's doing a better job handling his anger. And reaching out for other resources, like you said, the anger management books that you're doing. And even though you didn't have successful experiences with local counselors, the fact that you reached out and you were humble enough to recognize that you needed that support, the fact that you're calling here today. Being a good parent doesn't mean that you don't have problems. Being a good parent is that you work hard to respond to those problems instead of ignoring those problems or trying to, just blame the kid for them. You've really stepped up in responding to this challenge and saying, well, I'm going to give my son what he needs. That I'm going to bring him home. I'm going to teach him at home. I'm going to give him work on our relationship.
Yeah, truly, you're doing heroic things here.
So I would like to be able to offer you some additional assistance. If you'd like, pray about it. I understand that you have limited resources in your area and they haven't been terrific because, let's face it, secular counseling is not what it's all cracked up to be these days.
Especially with teenagers.
So if you're looking for faithful ways to respond to this and you would like some support, whether you'd like it for yourself or for your son or for your family, you can always reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Our telepastoral counseling practice can really help you find faithful ways to continue to respond to this. But I want you to really focus on that fact, what I just said, the idea that being a good parent doesn't mean that you don't have problems. Right, a good parent isn't a parent that doesn't have any problems. A good parent is a parent who responds to those problems, who takes those problems seriously, who says, what can I do to respond to these challenges? How can I grow and change and be the mom that my kids need me to be? And you're doing that. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's fine now. Of course it's not. But what that does mean is that you're cooperating with God's grace and you're listening to his voice calling you to be more, the person that he wants you to be. And if we can do anything to support you in that continued work that you're doing, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, Amy, thank you so much for the call. And I hope that these ideas, these suggestions, will help you get a better sense of where God's moving in your life and what you can do next to move down the road. With that, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the comparison trap. How can we stop looking at other people and saying, I'm not as good, or maybe God is blessing them more, or all those things. How do we learn to celebrate the life God has for us? 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who'll be sharing some insights on how you can avoid the comparison trap. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise is more popular than ever. Every year, couples testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. The 2026 cruise is already three-quarters full, so if you want to join, now is the time. Special guests include musicians Andrea Bocelli, Matt Maher, Sarah Kroger, and John Ignatti, as well as hosts from Ave Maria Radio. Fun, romance, devotion. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Travel tab to find out more.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the comparison trap, as we talk about that tendency we all have to feel like we're not measuring up or not good enough, especially compared to those other people around us. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our Success and Performance Coaching Program, and she's committed to helping Catholic athletes, performing artists, executives, and others be their best under pressure. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, you wanted to talk a little bit about either the beliefs or the self-talk that we have that kind of sets us up for the comparison game and how we can go about changing that narrative. Because this is something that comes up a lot, especially in your work with folks who are in the Success and Performance Coaching Program at Catholic Counselors.
It really does, and it's a very common challenge that we experience. And, you know, the reason that we get so stuck in the comparison game is really because it puts us in competition with other people. So when we compare ourselves to others, we have this belief that one of us is better than the other. You know, one of us is winning and one of us is losing. And usually that belief and that self-talk says the other person is winning and I'm the one losing, right? Which makes me feel threatened, inferior, and powerless, really. So you know, to break out of that comparison game, we need to switch our mindset from the idea of competing to complementing. When we make a conscious effort to recognize what we bring to the table, what our strengths are, what we're capable of, and then we can say, I have these strengths. This other person has these other strengths. Here's how we can use our strengths to work together, to complement one another, to lift one another up, and to be even more effective than either one of us could be on our own. You know, the fact that that other person has strengths doesn't threaten our own strengths. It doesn't mean that they're better than me or that they're winning and I'm losing. It just means that we have the ability to work together, to both be effective together. So when we catch ourselves falling into that comparison game, just ask yourself, how can my strengths complement this other person and how can their strengths complement mine?
And even if we're not working together with somebody on a particular thing, I think that you know, if I'm reflecting on your point, you know, being able to say, I admire something about them, and I do, as we were talking about earlier in the program, I do think it would be helpful for me to have more of that quality or more of that skill or that strength. So how can I work to receive that? And in a sense, they're complimenting me by giving me that inspiration I need to develop in ways that God might be calling me to. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, absolutely. You know, and it's not about, you know, again, like, oh, they have this strength that, you know, maybe I really struggle with, so they're better than me, right? Just like you're saying, you know, I still have the strengths that I need to be able to allow me to be inspired by that other person, to maybe even go to that other person and say, hey, you know, I've seen that you have this strength. How do you practice that? How do you work on that, right? But I need to use my strengths to be able to do that, right? Because, you know, I need to be able to use my strengths to implement that practice and to, you know, have that sort of insight and to be mindful and intentional about practicing that. So absolutely, it's a way for us to really, you know, work together in terms of learning from one another rather than, yeah, it doesn't mean we have to be working together on a specific project. It's just the idea of working together in terms of supporting each other and encouraging that growth in one another.
Well, and also, as you were saying, to really begin to see our own strengths and how we can highlight them and perfect them. You know, you're not going, a quarterback is not going to be the same as a defensive guard or the same as a kicker, but we need them all, right? So we need to
Absolutely.
Be able to really get good at what our strengths are.
Rachel, I want to thank you for being with us today. Always great insights. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I invite them to go to CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our success and performance coaching program at the St. Sebastian Center. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And folks, we're taking your calls right now about the comparison trap. 877-573-7825. Are you comparing yourself to somebody and feeling like you're coming up short? Do you struggle to know kind of how to celebrate the particular plan God has for you, or how to get those skills or advantages or blessings that you see other people having that you wish you had? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Who is responsible for the death of Jesus? The Catholic Catechism emphatically states that neither the Jews of Jesus' time nor the Jews of our time should be considered rejected or accursed as a consequence of the Lord's Passion. Not all the Jews in the religious hierarchy were opposed to him. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were two prominent men who were secret disciples. The Acts of the Apostles notes that many priests were obedient to the faith, and some belonged to the party of the Pharisees. St. James reported to St. Paul that many thousands believed in the Lord and were also zealous for the law. The religious authorities were not in unanimity as to what to do with Jesus. The Pharisees threatened excommunication to his followers. The Sanhedrin, having declared him a blasphemer, but without power to execute, turned him over to the Romans as a political anarchist. The Catechism cautions we must leave judgment as to the participants in Jesus' trial to God alone. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
I really love St. Augustine because I think he is a good example for all of us that no matter how stubborn, no matter how intelligent we may be, you know, thinking we're so smart and we don't have to worry about what God says, but a lot of people see themselves as gods, making their own decisions and thinking they're fine and thinking that they can pick and choose through Catholicism and Christianity in general. But St. Augustine is a reminder to us that anyone, even one with a hardened heart, can have a huge change. Whether it's late in life, whatever. God is always trying to give good things to us. Ah, but our hands are too full to receive them. Think about that. We fill our hands with the things that we think matter. St. Augustine, pray for us.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today the show is titled The Comparison Trap. You know, we all fall into that place where sometimes we feel like we're just not as good as so-and-so. Or we feel like they're being blessed more than we are. And how come? You know, God is giving them that, and I don't have that. If you are struggling with that sense of envy or that tendency to compare yourself to others, or for that matter, if you feel like someone in your life is comparing you unfairly to others, that other sibling, other people, you name it, we want to help you escape the comparison trap. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next caller, I want to let you know about a great opportunity to have a more peaceful family by Christmas. It's a free webinar titled Have a More Peaceful Family by Christmas that Lisa and I are hosting. Actually, we're going to be talking about how to take advantage of the grace of the Advent season to make more room in your hearts and your home for Christ, not just through the traditional Advent traditions or spiritual practices, but by ways to live a little differently as a family that lets you start experiencing God's love more completely in your home.
And doesn't add to your burden of your daily life, especially during the holiday season when things can feel more burdensome sometimes.
So as we're heading into that Advent season, begins in a couple of weeks here, we would love to have you join us. It's a free webinar. It's sponsored by Franciscan University's Catechetical Institute. And it's an opportunity to come together with other families and really look at how we can not just go through the motions of the Advent season, but really connect with the grace that God is giving us to have a more peaceful family by Christmas. If you're interested, all you got to do is register. Again, it's totally free. It's going to happen on next Tuesday, November 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Again, next Tuesday, November 19th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Totally free. We just need you to register. And that address is CatholicCounselors.com/peacefulbychristmas. All one word. CatholicCounselors.com/peacefulbychristmas.
And your registration allows us to send you the link so you can join the webinar.
Look forward to seeing you there. With that, we are taking your calls on our show titled The Comparison Game. Do you compare yourself to others or feel like you're coming up short or struggle with feeling like you're not good enough? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Serena, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Tennessee.
Hi, Serena. Welcome to More to Life.
Well, thank you. I have an embarrassing one. I am jealous of the saints. I saw a movie last night about a woman who, or on Tuesday night, I guess, whose cause for canonization has been opened. And what people say about her is, oh, she had this great smile and she was always friendly. And I thought, I'm always friendly. I smile a lot. And, you know, there's this universal call to holiness. And that is something that has always, I just feel like I could never get there. I mean, yeah, there's this call, but it's just for people like, I think her name was Michelle Dupont, you know, this gal from North Dakota, you know, who was a focus missionary and everything. And I'm just kind of hanging out, you know, trying through my day.
Oh, and, Serena, and I get it.
Really?
I truly get it. See, here's the thing, is that I guarantee you that she did not feel during the course of her life here on Earth that mm-hmm. she was a saint. I guarantee it. I guarantee she was plagued by messages from Satan too, because he wants to run us down.
So, Serena, let me ask you a question though. So when you read the stories of the saints, or you hear stories like this, what makes mm-hmm. you feel like what goes through your head that says I can't be that?
Well, on Tuesday night, I thought, well, she was a young woman and had been holy all her life, and I am an older woman and have not been holy all my life. So there is that.
Well, you know, I mean, St. Paul was murdering Christians up until the time that he wasn't, so I think you probably got him beat.
And there are a lot of saints who, especially saints who became sainted in their very later years because somebody else, a spouse or a friend or somebody, really affected them. Like, everything we do in our life leads up to us becoming holier and holier and holier if we invite Christ into our lives more and more.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, we have a tendency to read the lives of the saints and say, well, that couldn't possibly be me because I can't do big things for Jesus. You know, I can't start a religious order. I can't build schools. I'm not going to evangelize a nation. You know, and it's true that some of the saints have done some really remarkable things. But St. John Paul, you know, made it his business because, you know, he was the first pope, really, after the Second Vatican Council to really look at what does it mean to live out this universal call to holiness that you referenced. You know, and for folks who aren't aware of it, you know, previous to the Second Vatican Council, there was sort of a popular idea that holiness was reserved for priests and religious. But the council really called for this universal call to holiness to remind all of us that, no, we're all called to sainthood. We're all called to holiness. And God has a plan and a path for each and every single one of us, not just those who choose to enter into the priesthood or religious life. And so St. John Paul, you know, canonized more saints than any other pope before him because he was trying to give us lay witnesses of holiness and show us that, you know, everybody can be holy. But we have a tendency to still look at even those folks and say, but they did amazing and awesome and incredible things. Well, St. John Paul promoted devotion to St. Therese the Little Flower. In fact, he made her a doctor of the church because her teachings were that we become saints by doing small things with great love, by just living this little way of holiness. And looking for little ways to make a difference in the lives of those that we encounter throughout the course of the day.
And that can be just that smile, just that listening ear, holding the door open for someone, you know, making some food for somebody that you know isn't feeling well, or to bring down to, you know, the soup kitchen or whatever it is. But it's about the relationship with Christ and looking for those little ways to connect with him and shine him out every day.
And by the way, you know, I don't know your situation, Serena, but this is, it also applies to taking care of your spouse and kids.
Or grandkids or whoever those people are.
And this is something that we talk about a lot on Catholic Home, the Catholic HOM app, because we did a poll, and it was sort of what's the word I'm looking for? It was kind of a test in a sort of way. It
See
was a trick question.
Think.
Yeah, it was a poll to say, we basically asked, do you feel like family life is getting in the way, your family life obligations are getting in the way of you being a holier person? And like 80% of the people who responded said yes. And it was a trick question because we have a tendency to think that taking care of our spouse and kids, oh, that's not a path to holiness. That's just something I have to do. That I don't get credit. I can't get double credit for that. You know, like I'm doing that because I want them. I want to have a happy marriage and a happy family life. That's not. I can't get credit for doing that. You know, in my sainthood book. But you do, because, you know, the church refers to Catholic families as domestic churches, and that's not just a theological term for families. It's a term that means that we, our households, are the church in the world, and that we bring, it's our job to bring God's grace to the world in the way that we love each other, and we witness to that love. And so when we take care of our spouse and our kids, and we work hard to make that family life and that marriage as strong and as healthy as we can, that's growing in holiness, and that's bringing the world to Christ by showing the world that encountering Christ in the Eucharist changes the way we live together and love each other, and inspires us to work harder on the way we live together and love each other. So whatever your situation is, you can make that huge difference and be that saint God is calling you to be by just doing those small things with God's love.
And in fact, I was talking to somebody last night who just gotten out of confession, and she said, my priest told me that all I really have to do is work every day on my relationship with Jesus, and I can stop worrying about trying to measure up to other Catholics. Honest to goodness, I talked to this person last night, and that's exactly what she heard in the confessional, and it sort of changed her life. And I want you to really think, one of the things I think about when that starts to kind of creep into my mind is St. Peter, and then I ask him to intercede for me. St. Peter was our first pope. St. Peter walked with Christ. St. Peter saw the transfiguration. He was there. He wanted to stay there because it was so amazing to be able to be there. And then he denied Christ 3 times. Our walk with God is full of pitfalls, full of challenges. Some of them come from Satan. Some of them are there to help us grow. That's why God allows them. But if we ask ourselves, well, I'm wrong about that. If we ask Jesus every day, even throughout the day, you know, that's why the church has rhythms of the day. You know, we do the Angelus at noon. We do the office. Those were set into the patterns of the church just as a way, and you can do it as easily by setting an alarm on your phone, to take time throughout the day and say, Lord, how can I serve you in the next few hours of my day? What can I do to grow closer to you in the next few hours of my day? And then listen. Because that allows us to allow the Holy Spirit's voice into our lives instead of just Satan, who's always going to be saying, you're not good enough, you're never going to measure up, you're never going to make it to heaven, and all of these noises that we hear.
So building on what Lisa just said, I want you to, when you look at the lives of the saints, I don't want you to see those as a condemnation of the life you're living, but an invitation and an inspiration to follow their example by doing exactly what Lisa just said. And saying, okay, Lord, you know, I really do want to be a saint. I want to be holy. So show me how to make a difference today, even a tiny difference in the life of somebody that I encounter. Whether that's, you know, being a little more affectionate to my kid or my spouse, or holding that door for that person, smiling at them when I see them, using the server's name whenever I'm at the restaurant instead of just treating like the vending machine. How can I just be that little blessing that leaves people better than I found them?
And we have to understand that there are no two saints that are alike, because they all were unique and unrepeatable. And that is true of every person on earth. The only thing all the saints had in common was that they did their best to have a relationship with Christ. And I know that you're working on that.
And ultimately, it's not our work. It's Christ's work that makes us those saints. Serena, thanks so much for the question. Really great reflection. We really appreciate your call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about escaping the comparison trap today on More to Life. Do you feel like you're struggling to be good enough or feel good enough in your role or in life? Are other people making unfair and negative comparisons about you and somebody else? You know, or do you just feel a little envious of the blessings that other people have received that you're kind of wishing for yourself, but not quite sure why God's not giving it to you? Well, let's talk about how to celebrate the life that God is giving you and how to cooperate with His grace to be everything He's calling you to be. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 4.
But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor.
You know, St. Paul, again, is reminding us exactly what we were just talking with Serena about, the idea that God has a plan for you. And it's a plan for fulfillment. It's a plan for holiness. It's a plan for abundance. And if we go to God and say, Lord, I just want to serve you a little better today. You know, show me how I can be your presence in the world. Show me how I can make even a tiny difference in the lives of those around me. We're doing what St. Paul is asking us to do here. We're doing what God is asking us to do by pursuing that universal call to holiness in the little ways God makes available to us. And when we just focus on that work, then we can recognize all the really, truly powerful and beautiful ways God is working in us and with us, and through us. And we can celebrate that. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the comparison game today on More to Life. Are you struggling with just never feeling good enough? Feeling like maybe you're never measuring up? Or like God's given blessings to other people that he's not given to you? And what's up with that? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled The Comparison Trap, as we talk about those times when we just don't feel good enough, or we feel like we're being compared unfairly to somebody, or for that matter, we feel like God's blessing those other people with things that we wish we had, whether that's a skill or an actual advantage, and we feel like maybe there's not enough grace to go around, or that somehow we let God down, and that's why he's not giving us our heart's desire. Well, how do we get out of that comparison trap and start celebrating the life God is giving us and working the plan God has for us? 877-573-7825. Before we take your next questions, I want to let you know about a great resource. If you're interested in being a more effective witness for life, I really encourage you to check out the National Life Rosary and turn to Mary, the Mother of God, for help bearing witness to the gift of life. It's designed exclusively for EWTN. The unique centerpiece and crucifix represent the reality that all life is sacred and begins at conception. You can pray for and build a culture of life with the National Life Rosary. Check it out. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. With that, we are taking your questions now on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
Well, we had a call from Victor, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio, and he wants to figure out something with his spouse. He said his spouse told him that they should move away from anyone they know, so it will make it fair for both of them. Therefore, they won't compare themselves to others. And how should he deal with this?
Well, Victor, so, I mean, obviously we don't have a lot of details on this, but the question speaks to a common, quote-unquote, solution that we all try to adopt when we're dealing with envy or that comparison game. We just think that if I could just change my environment, then that will solve the problem. You know, that friend who got pregnant when I was looking for a baby, I'm just not going to go talk to her. That person who now has, you know, the boyfriend or girlfriend that I wish that I had, I'm not going to talk to them anymore.
That person who got the promotion. Exactly,
I'm just
going to
snub them now. And if I could just get those people out of my life, then I won't be jealous anymore.
And of course, that just cuts us off from relationship and grace and a lot of other very beneficial things.
Well, and here's the thing, though. It puts me in contact with other people that I'll still be envious of, and I'll still compare myself to. It's an illusion to think that by changing my external circumstances, it's going to have an internal impact. You know, the real answer here, Victor, is that you and your wife need to think differently about the relationships that you have with the people around you. And instead of seeing the blessings that they have received from God as a condemnation of your life, you want to see it as an inspiration and an invitation to discover the blessings that God has for you. So, for example, if you see somebody and you say, you know, gosh, like Serena was talking about, I wish I had their spiritual life. Well, you want to use the process or anything else. I mean, there's that one example. I wish I had that job. You know, I wish I'd gotten that promotion.
Whatever
I wish I had
it is,
that, whatever.
Temporal, emotional, spiritual, when we just long for something that we see somebody else having, you know, that's what we're talking about.
Right. The theology of the body teaches us that God speaks to us through the desires of our hearts. And that's a real insight, because most of us have a tendency to be very suspicious of the desires of our hearts. And to some degree, we should be, right? Because we're fallen people, sinful people, we don't know how to fulfill those desires in ways that are pleasing to God. But we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? We shouldn't throw the longing of our heart out with the fact that we don't necessarily know how to meet that longing in a healthy and godly way. And St. John Paul, through the theology of the body, says, you know, God is trying to speak to us through those desires and those longings. So when we see something that other people have, or that they've been blessed with, or a skill that they have, or an opportunity they've been given, and we feel envious of that, we want to bring that desire to God, not just push it down, dismiss it, and say forget about it and feel bad about it.
Or not just run after it thinking, okay, well, this is a desire that God's put on my heart, and I'm going to go for it with all my might, and then I'll test God to see if he's going to bless it or not. That's not bringing it to God.
No, bringing it to God says, okay, Lord, first of all, if this is not something that you want for me, then please take it away. Right? But if it stays on my heart, then you have to assume that God's saying something to you through that. So the next thing, then, is to do what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Say, all right, Lord, is this something that I need to be the person you're calling me to be, or live the life that you're calling me to live? And as you pray about it, if the answer is yes, then the next step is, okay, then, Lord, teach me how to pursue that good thing, whether that's the happier marriage or that skill or that blessing. How do I go after this thing in a way that glorifies you, helps me be the person God's calling me to be, and blesses the people around me too? Because if I can pursue that thing in those ways, then I'm pursuing it in godly and healthy ways. And so, Victor, the answer is not to go live on a mountain that's far, far away from any other human being that you could possibly compare yourself to. The answer is to start praying and thinking differently about the way you see those other people. And you and your wife sitting down and praying together about, you know, these things that we see in others that we compare ourselves to all the time, you know, are they something that we need to be the couple, the family, the people that God is calling us to be? And if it is, then you trust that God has a plan for helping you get that. And then you say, all right, Lord, teach us. You know, teach us what you want us to do to pursue that goal in ways that please you, that help us be our best selves. And yeah, work for the good of the people around us too. And that's a lesson for all of us. You know, let's all resist that temptation to think that the problem is outside of us. You know, that it's the problem is that person was blessed in this particular way and we weren't. Or the problem is that I just spend too much time with them. The problem is really how we interpret that and how we think about it. And so the solution is changing how we think and pray about it, so that instead of seeing those blessings that other people have been given as a condemnation of us, seeing them as an inspiration and an invitation from God to grow in the ways that He would have us grow, to discover the plan He has for our life, and to celebrate the blessings He wants to give us. If you'd like to learn more about how to do that, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about working with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you discover God's plan for your marriage, family, and personal life, and live that plan out to the fullest. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because you know what? With His grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.